Welcome to Bayou Business Download, a podcast from the Greater Houston Partnership where we dive into the data and analytics influencing the region's economy. I'm your host, Brina Morales. Today is Thursday, July 13th. Happy 713 Day, everyone. Today, we're talking about a mix of things. New data is out on inflation, housing, and auto sales. Chief Economist Patrick Jankowski joins us with what the new numbers tell us about the economy. Patrick, thanks for joining me today.
Brina, thanks for having me on again, and thank you, everybody, for listening in again.
So let's start with inflation. Overall, I think you'd agree it's hopeful news, right?
Oh, yeah. It was very wonderful news. When I opened up my email and had the email from the BLS, showed the U.S. inflation rate for the last 12 months, you know, the 12 months ending June, was only 3.0%. God, that's low. I mean, this time last year, the inflation rate was at 9.1%. Mm-hmm. So you can see we've cut about two-thirds out of headline inflation. Mm-hmm. There are other things in there, but just overall, we're doing much better than we were this time last year.
So what did Houston's inflation come in as?
Oh, Houston's inflation actually came in much lower. Houston's inflation came in at 1.7, and that's down from where it was at 10.2 this time a year ago. So our inflation is actually milder than what we're seeing in the U.S., and that's nice for us living in Houston to experience that.
So it's trending in the right direction, but I know you're concerned about the core inflation, which in Houston is higher than the national. So can you explain the difference
there?
Yeah,
core inflation is 5.4% for the U.S. I mean, 5.4% for Houston, 4.8% for the U.S. Core inflation is what the Bureau of Labor Statistics does, is they try to take out energy and they take out food, and they calculate inflation without those two. The reason why they take out energy and they take out food is because those tend to be volatile. You can see a huge spike in gasoline prices or natural gas prices or electricity prices. If, say, we have a storm in the Gulf of Mexico and we have to shut down production, we all see gasoline prices go up. Like what we had, when we had a freeze a while back in Texas and it shut down a lot of electricity capacity. That spiked electricity cost. You could see a natural gas pipeline go out, and that would affect natural gas prices. So that's why they take the energy out. Food, it could be a famine. Mm-hmm. I'm not a famine. It could be a drought. Hopefully not a famine. Mm-hmm. We could have a drought. We could have some sort of weather event which interrupts food production and drives up food prices, or a transportation event that drives up food prices. Mm-hmm. And those aren't considered part of a long-term trend. Those are considered kind of one-offs, things that happen in the short term, which are soon resolved. So that's the reason why you take food and energy out to get core inflation. We're looking at what is housing cost, what are automobiles costing, what's medicine costing, what's transportation, and things of that nature.
Okay. So, but there is some good news despite that high core inflation. So the data for April through June,
What happens is we get national data every month, and Houston's large enough of a metropolitan area to where the Bureau of Labor Statistics will actually give us a calculation, not every month, but every other month. And so we can look at what's happened from inflation, you know, since April. And since then, we've seen groceries drop by about 0.7%. Dining out went up, but only 0.3%. Housing only went up 1%. We saw a drop off in gasoline. We saw a drop off in the cost of furnishings, what it takes to furnish your house, drop off in clothing. And our core rate was only up 0.6%. Mm-hmm. So we're definitely seeing, if you look at it, not over the 12 months, but look over the last 2 to 3 months, we're definitely seeing an easing up of inflation locally.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Oh, it's very good. It means it's going to take a little bit of pressure. You know, when I open up my wallet, I'm not going to have to be pulling out as many greenbacks or I guess when I pay with cash or if I'm sliding electrons from one part of the city to another part of the city, there are fewer electrons flying through to pay for that pizza or that gin and tonic.
All right. Patrick, before we continue, I want to take a moment to say thank you to our Bayou Business Download sponsor, Fifth Third Bank, for making today's podcast possible. Learn more about Fifth Third Bank and the services they provide at 53.com. That's the numbers 53.com. So let's talk about Houston's housing market. More signs are pointing toward a new normal. Let's start with single-family home sales. What are you seeing there?
Okay, single-family home sales through June are down roughly 18%, 18% compared to June of last year. But now we really shouldn't compare it to June of 22 or June of 21 because that was a juiced-up market coming out of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. If you compare single-family home sales to where we were in 2019, the last normal year prior to the pandemic, they're actually up 4%. Mm-hmm. So what we're seeing is the market somewhat slowly returning to normal. I mean, the last 2 years have not been a normal market. We really shouldn't make any comparisons to 2020 or 21 or 2022. We really need to go back and make our comparisons to 2019.
All right. What about median sales price?
Okay. So you're asking about sales prices. Yeah. The best way to look at sales prices is not the average. You want to look at the median. The median is where half the houses that are sold either above that or below that. Mm-hmm. If you look at average, you know, a $1 million home will really skew the average. Mm-hmm. So we want to look at what's the middle ground. Mm-hmm. Median priced home in Houston in June sold for about $345,000. That's down about $9,000 from June or where we were last year. Mm-hmm. But if you go back, as I said, let's go back and look at 2019. It's up still about $92,000 above where we were just 4 years ago in June 2019. So unfortunately, you know, things are maybe settling down somewhat, mm-hmm. but we're not going to see a huge drop off in prices. We're not going to see them go back to where they were in 2019. Mm-hmm. We might see a reset. We might start to see where prices don't escalate quite as much, mm-hmm. but they're not going to fall. And if you look at it, earlier back in this time last year, we were seeing home prices escalate at a double-digit rate. And this started going down. And actually, we have seen home prices slip. Starting in February, mm-hmm. the comparing this February to last February or this March to last March or this April to last April, they've been dropping anywhere from 1.5 to about 4%. And so, you know, it's not going to go down 30 or 40% to get where it was. Mm-hmm. But it does show that there is a little bit of easing on that price pressure. We're unlikely, unfortunately, to see a double-digit drop to offset what we saw, the double-digit increases. Mm-hmm. I expect prices to remain kind of weak for the next few months, depending upon the economic outlook. How weak, I really can't tell you. It depends upon what's going to happen with the U.S. economy. I'm still in the boat that I think we're going to avoid a recession, but it is affecting people's attitudes. Mm-hmm. But we're probably, at some point in the next year or so, get back to where we see increases simply at the rate of 3 to 4%, and not 18 and 19%, mm-hmm. like we were seeing at the worst part of the surge in home prices.
Mm-hmm. All right, Patrick. So let's talk about inventory. You're seeing signs that it's starting to normalize a bit.
Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, if you remember, a year or two ago, people were just talking about how they couldn't find a house. That there were five offers on the house the day that it went on the market. That's no longer the case. The velocity of sales, I guess, is one way to put it, slowed down. Right now, you know, beginning of July, we had over 22,000 homes, single-family homes, listed on the market. That's double what we had at the worst part of the market. If you want to look at that, another way to look at inventory is, you know, at the rate in which we're selling homes, how long would it take for us to exhaust everything on the market? Mm-hmm. Right now, we have about a 3.1-month supply of inventory. At the worst part of the surge in sales and pricing, we had a 1.1-month supply. Mm-hmm. So you can see, based on months of supply, it's almost tripled where we were at the worst part. Another way to look at that is, a normal market is really between 4 and 6 months. I tend to think it's more than 4 months. You get other people say 6 months. But once we broach that level where we have a 4-month supply in housing, it's pretty much a balanced market.
Okay. Let's shift to vehicle sales. What are the numbers showing us there?
Well, if you look year to date, we are up for vehicle sales in the region. If you look at June, we're actually down a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not quite sure what's happening there. Probably a little bit of interest rates are making it less affordable to buy a car. Mm-hmm. There may be a little bit of economic uncertainty out there. People may be a little reluctant to buy a new vehicle if they're a little bit worried about the economy. But it could also just be more people are on vacation in June this year than last mm-hmm. year, and they're just not there to be on the lot to look at the cars. It's interesting, as it's supply and demand. We're definitely seeing that mm-hmm. taking effect. If there are fewer people buying cars, we've actually seen a little bit of a drop in prices. Mm-hmm. If you look at where we were in May, it was almost $55,000 for a truck or SUV, the average price. Price has actually dropped about $200 or $300. I know it's a very small amount, but it's kind of headed in the right direction. Mm-hmm. If you look at where we were for just cars. Cars were about $42,300 in May. Now they're around $41,700. So you're definitely starting to see prices come off just a little bit from those extreme highs that we had as well earlier this year.
Okay, that's good. So let's talk quickly about aviation.
Yeah, I know. Aviation, I've got a plane to catch or a train to catch or in this case, maybe a bus to catch. We are so close to getting back to where we were prior to the pandemic. If you look at domestic traffic, we're only about 1.8 million passengers below we were in May. Mm-hmm. If you look at international traffic, we're only about 400,000 passengers below we were in May. Right now, it's not an issue of desire on the traveler's mm-hmm. part. It's probably more an issue of capacity. We all hear about how mm-hmm. the airlines are overbooked, and they're having a hard time finding pilots and flight attendants and baggage handlers and so forth. So I'm not going to say that we're fully recovered, but we sure are pretty darn close. I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the summer mm-hmm. we've surpassed our pre-pandemic level. You know, here we are. You know, we're at that point where everything is just almost there. Some things we are there. You know, it's the economy is looking okay. You know, a few little concerns out there, but I'm still not worried about a recession.
All right. Patrick, thanks for joining me today.
Barina, it is always good to be here with you doing this podcast, and I look forward to the next one.
All right. And that's it for this episode of Bayou Business Download. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode. You can do so via your favorite podcasting platform or by visiting the podcast page at houston.org. There you will also find links to recent data and news updates and learn how you can get more involved in the partnership's work to make a difference in Houston. A special thanks again to our sponsor, Fifth Third Bank, for helping make this podcast possible. And thanks again to you for listening to Bayou Business Download.